Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC 97.9 HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
On the Twitch, HTex Rhino says that I would be best at trolling people. I don't troll anybody. Junior Bronco says that he would be the best at making Joe George mad. And then he has a picture of Joe George. Like, I think he face mashed Joe George as Bartman. Steve Bartman. It's pretty funny, Junior Broncos. I hadn't seen that. That's pretty good. Mike texting in saying, we tennis or we home run derby? Okay. Interesting. What is the one video? Brian already told us the best video game that he is, or the game that he's the best at is Madden or NCAA. What is the game that you would pick?
I'm going to go.
Can we make the joke? Could Jeremy and I please go 1, 2, 3? Sure. Make the joke?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3. Oh, you're
Atari.
Just,
Pong.
Yeah, it's Pong. Yeah, Atari's sure not a game, was... right? Atari's the
no,
actual
Atari's,
video
Atari's
game.
The system. Yeah,
yeah, my bad. The system.
Was it Pong before Atari, or was it part of Atari?
I think it was part of Atari.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was part of Atari.
Right.
The best game that I was, or the best video game that I was like the best at, would be King Griffey Jr. Baseball, the first one on Super Nintendo. I was unbeatable on that game.
That was a great game.
Unbeatable.
Great with only King Griffey named in the game.
Only King Griffey. And everybody else had a theme. Yeah, I was very good at King Griffey Jr. Baseball. All right, a few people saying drinking beer. Like, a lot of people are saying drinking beer. So good luck at that. I'm better at knowing to not interfere with an Astro player trying to rob a home run. Well, it wasn't interference. It was beyond the wall. 6860, Brandon would be best at building houses on Bad Take Boulevard. That's not true. I'm great. I have great techs. I would take my chance at bay fishing, trout, redfish. Blaine, take me with you. That's the big, what's the big three? Trout, redfish, and then flounder, right? Those are the big three, the Texas threesome.
I don't know. I know in the Midwest, trout fishing is huge.
Yeah, I would love to go. I haven't been fishing in a long time. 3300, best at naming a player's jersey number of the big three sports leagues and NCAA football. I used to be good at that as a kid. I'm not very good at jersey numbers anymore. Houston sports trivia. I'll take my crack at that.
Yeah.
I'll take my crack at that, especially just random people. Like, if you give me Houston sports trivia, I get random people. There's a very good chance that you're not going to have somebody from Houston.
Right.
And if that's the case, I feel very confident in those skills. Regular trivia, though, I'm terrible. It would definitely need to be at least sports trivia. Houston sports trivia would make it better. Guitar Hero all day. Did you ever do the whole Guitar Hero?
I've never did that.
Yeah, I did it a couple times. It's fun. I'm not very good at it.
I think, like, from years of being force-fed Jeopardy and game shows, and I like trivia. I just believe that if you're going to take 100 random people, you're probably going to, not you're going to get Ken Jennings, but you're going to get some people that can do some trivia.
I'm not very good at trivia. Like, you get some of those non-sports questions, I'm very, very mid. Very mid, and mid might be, like, saying it nicely. And you get some, like, music stuff. I'm terrible at music stuff. Blaine says, let's go fish. I go fishing 5-6 times a month. All right, let's go early in the morning one day, and then I'll get back and do the show. I'll go fish. You going on a boat? Where are you going, Blaine? You going out in the bay? Going to Galveston? Where are you going? Guessing celebrity ages? I'm not good at that at all. 90s rap lyrics or Rocket League? Is Rocket League that soccer game, but you're a vehicle?
Yes. Yes.
I've never played that. It doesn't look fun to me. Why is that so popular?
Well, it's popular amongst people who stream it on, you know, Twitch and things like that. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's a game that's easily accessible for all ages and is easy to kind of jump in and, like, share the experience. And that's why it's become popular in the online communities.
This guy says 100. Well, I don't know if it's a guy. 110-meter hurdles.
I hope he's in his prime of his existence.
Yeah. I mean, random. If you get me, if you get a 99 average Joe's, you probably got a good shot. But if you get one ringer in there,
yeah,
you get one ringer in there. 8807 says speed reciting the Greek alphabet. I'm not very good. I couldn't tell you very much of that. Mario Kart 64, 6761. Pretty good at Mario Kart.
That's a good one. If I had to put money on the line, be more the Super Nintendo version, but that's a good one.
I wouldn't. I didn't play the one on Nintendo 64 much.
Not much.
Or the new one very much. But the oldest has it, but I don't play that much. Super Nintendo Mario Kart would probably be my best chance at Mario Kart. Everything 80s. Sports, music, movies, TV shows, trivia, all of it, says Pessimistic Chad. Would you be good at that?
I might.
80s trivia?
I might be all right.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd be very good at that. Christopher Walken impression? A lot of people do good Christopher Walkens, though.
Yeah,
they? What do you do? Did you go to more cowbell? Or
probably.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that they do.
That or his speech from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had listeners calling the show, I think, to try and do a Christopher Walken. I think that's true. I think a lot of people think they do a great Christopher Walken.
Yeah. The whole randomness of 100 people, though. Like, you get a bunch of people from, like, the Middle East. Like, they have no chance. Or you're getting, like, you're getting people with accents, too. Like, and if somebody has an accent, then they're not going to do a good Christopher Walken.
That's
but
true.
The Walken's not even really the accent. It's, like, or
it's kind of the
it's just the style.
The tempo. Right. The tempo and delivery.
The
yeah.
start.
But I'm saying if you have an accent, it's going to be difficult to sound like him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. It's not even really sounding like him. It's just repeating his speech pattern.
Right. But if you don't know English, good luck doing that.
True, true.
Like, you can eliminate any non-English speaker immediately, I think, when you're trying to do an impersonation of an English speaker.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when I think about when you get people that are of English as their first English descent with their accents. Or any other random language, and then all of a sudden in acting, they have to act like they...
Oh, they're really good at that.
It's unbelievable how people can do that.
Usually it's the British who are doing like American English that are really good. And then you hear them talk like Stringer Bell. Like, I watched The Wire without knowing how Stringer Bell talked. And
oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden I heard... I didn't know that he talked that way, and I heard him do an interview. I go, what in the world? Like, for a while, I was like, that's not Stringer Bell. Stringer Bell talks like that? Because I watched The Wire, had no idea that he had a British accent, and I hear Stringer Bell, the British accent? That messed me up for a little bit.
Yeah, there's been several in recent years for Best Actor where you go for the acceptance speech, or you hear the interviews leading up to the awards, you're like, wow, I had no idea that they weren't American.
Yeah, they are really good at that. And it's usually the Brits talking like Americans. 8998, Honey Glaze Branham, making bonsai trees. People love to do the bonsai trees.
That's the one where you got to clip it a certain way and shape it with all the...
You can shape them however you want, but it's the little, tree.
So, what's the one, not like the ones that they shape into animals and things? That's
you can do
different?
That. No, I think it's a bonsai.
Okay.
I think it's a bonsai. I'm not, great with the whole bonsai thing, but I'm pretty sure that's a bonsai. Escaping an escape room? I've never done the escape room thing.
Is that the thing where you go to like it's like a bar or something that's set up like that, or like you can
sometimes it's like they have an own brick and mortar, like they have their own little shop and it's an escape the room. Christian Bell is British. He's one of those guys. A rock guitar on a pro level. I like my chances. Wrestling trivia says 5912. I think Brian's got a chance.
Yeah, not if you're in a pairing with me.
Yeah, I think Brian's got a chance to out wrestling trivia.
I should have put that on.
That's
mine.
Another
I can't
thing
that
when
that
you
that
mention
mine.
Like what this state, at least the people we used to have at the station overall, but wrestling. Pretty, especially if you're going to throw Booker T in there and Brad Gilmore. But.
Yeah. The thing with wrestling, too, is I think wrestling can be kind of universal.
It can.
Like Houston sports versus wrestling in a random pool of 100 people, mine's more nuanced.
Yeah, but wrestling is still, even though WWE is worldwide, it still becomes a little bit regional. Every region will have their own wrestling that maybe the local people pay attention to over the other.
4106, thinking I can do it yourself something and then sitting in the middle of the floor befuddled. I don't know. I do that about as good as anybody.
Yeah,
4106.
Same.
You might have your hands full going toe-to-toe with me at that.
I think you're onto something, though. Like, to your point, if I go like Wisconsin or Milwaukee trivia,
yeah,
because it's a smaller demographic than Houston even, that my chances would be better.
You need like something niche.
Yep.
You need something niche. Mm-hmm. Like you're a good three-point shooter.
Oh.
That would be like, what if you run into one ringer?
Right.
Like you're doomed. Like I think you like having a niche.
Nick Stauskas could be out there somewhere.
Maybe so. Like you might get an NBA guy. Yep. Blaine says Galveston. Okay, yeah. Let's go fishing, Blaine. Hit me up a little bit later. I'm 40 meter once, second fastest in Texas. Oh, 40. He's a 40-year-old male, once the second fastest in Texas. That was the 110 meter hurdle. That's pretty fast.
It is.
Like, that's niche enough. Like, because there's a lot of people that aren't going to have a chance. Like, you get a random pool of 100 people, you might have one or two athletic people
right.
that are that capable.
Yeah, with those with that specific too of with a certain age range.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But yeah, but athletically, it's just it's not in the cards. I don't think.
No, definitely not for me at my age. Quoting Tombstone movie lines, old school Christy. What would be the best movie that you can quote?
Man, I'll tell you what. My brother-in-law is unbelievable and does all the movies. Maybe Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Caddyshack type.
Yeah. I'm not very good at movie quoting. I'm embarrassed to say it, but probably Zoolander. If it was a TV show, probably Seinfeld.
I was going
to
say Seinfeld for you, yeah.
Probably Seinfeld. Maybe Curb, but probably Seinfeld. I've seen more. I like Curb more, but I've seen more of the Seinfeld episodes over and over again just because they've been around
Lisa's
longer.
Big on Seinfeld, and then because that's the thing in their family. Like my brother-in-law Mike, he's just every random TV show and movie he can throw lines at you, and I'm just like, yeah, no clue.
Honeyglaze Branham again. BMAC would be best at Jason Statham trivia.
Maybe.
Also, I don't know about that.
Also, I heard from Paul or Sean that The Beekeeper sucked. It does not look interesting to me.
I mean, the Rotten Tomatoes score would disagree that it sucked.
You saw it, Brian?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Fly Fishing says 7283. I would absolutely crush 100 other people in Boggle. Is Boggle the one where you shake it up and you get the squares and then you make up words that you see?
Yeah, I think so.
What would be your best board game?
Monopoly.
Really? That seems very random. Like, I'm not saying...
Or Risk. I love Risk.
Monopoly seems like a game of chance.
It's a luck thing, yeah, because you're just balancing your money and your funds and buying.
When to buy, how much to buy, and what to buy.
I'm not saying that there's not, but it seems like it has less skill than other games.
I mean, every board game is going to have luck as a part of it. I mean, if you're rolling a dice, there's going
to
be luck.
Sure, but luck versus skill. Like if you were to look at blackjack versus poker, like there's an element of skill in blackjack, but it's more luck than the luck factor in poker with the element of skill that it has there too.
But I think that's inescapable, specifically with board games, because they're all going to rely on a roll of a dice.
Not necessarily. Like I would pick my best board game, and maybe it's not a board game, would be Connect Four.
I was just going to say that. If your first answer was tic-tac-toe, then Connect Four should be your board game.
I wouldn't call it a board game, but that is fair to take as something separate.
And aren't there, like, Scrabble? Scrabble doesn't have dice.
True. That's true.
And that's heavy. That's a lot of skill.
I wouldn't say Scrabble, but...
Scrabble is, like, what, 1% luck, 99% skill?
That's
like the only luck factor is the tile that you draw.
Right. But at least you're spelling... Isn't it like... If you say Monopoly, isn't that like saying Uno or Yahtzee? Because
I would say there's a little bit more skill in Monopoly than Uno, but not by a lot.
And Yahtzee's just rolling dice.
Yeah. Yahtzee, what would be the skill? I haven't played Yahtzee in years. What would be the skill in Yahtzee? Like like picking the thing that you're crossing off?
Yeah, I don't even know what the skill would be.
Yeah, you're just trying to get of a kind, four of a kind, pairs, and Yahtzee is all five.
But isn't there times whenever you roll? I haven't played Yahtzee in
I haven't
years.
But I mean,
isn't there times whenever you can roll it and you can decide which ones you're crossing off?
Maybe.
Like which missions
well,
to
I
accomplish.
Well, I think, yeah, because once you get, like, say, three sixes or three of a kind, then the rest of them are out. Now you got to try to factor in, like, percentages.
Yeah, exactly.
But even still, it seems like it's all chance.
What would be your board game?
I think maybe Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, that's a good call. Cal McNair's would be Battleship.
I was going to go Candyland.
I thought you were going to say Operation.
Candyland
might be better for Cal.
I was terrible at Operation. I do not have a steady
hand.
My
kids have a mini travel version, too.
Of Operation?
And they actually, Lisa bought them the original Operation.
Version?
Yeah, and it's still
it's
fun.
It's super hard.
Yeah. Don't have coffee before you play it. I can tell
you
that.
I'm not good at Operation. I don't have I'm telling you. 5595 says Washers. I like Washers. I'm okay at Washers. I wouldn't pick Washers.
That's a game?
Yeah, Washers. The little cylinder you throw in the hole.
Oh, throw it. Okay. So is that like similar to cornhole? But
yeah, very. It's similar to cornhole. It's similar to like horseshoes.
Okay.
It's just like a little cylinder disc with a hole in it, kind of like a little aluminum flat donut, and you throw it into a hole in the ground. They do have some ones that you put on a board. I don't like those as much. I like the hole in the ground. A Washers is way better than cornhole. Like, what would you call that? A target game?
Yeah.
Horseshoes, Washers. Yeah, darts a little different because it's on the board.
Yeah.
But yeah, target game, I guess. Washers.
Jarts?
Washers might be my favorite target game, actually.
Do you guys know jarts?
No.
Those are the lawn darts. Yeah, those big lawn darts with the fins. It's like a big dart. Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I don't think I've
it's
played
big in
it.
The Midwest.
You ever play bocce ball?
Yeah, once or twice. They actually had a bocce ball, like it's like a putting green. They had the bocce ball club in Milwaukee. We used to see it all the time. I tried it once. I'm not a big fan. That's like croquet.
Yeah, I like both. Both are fun. Like, they're not my favorite thing to do.
Do you understand the whole croquet thing about you put your foot on the ball and you have to hit the other one?
That's only whenever you I think you only do that whenever you connect with their ball. Like, if somebody hits your ball, you then can have a chance to send theirs off. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Like, that, you don't, it's not every time.
Yeah, I don't even know, but I don't even know, like, to that level of the rules of croquet.
I like stupid games. I'm like, amazingly average at stupid games like that. Like, I'm average at every single thing like that. Not good at any of them, not bad at any of them, but I'm like, decent.
You can hold your own.
Decent at croquet, decent at, you know, washers, I almost said hand grenades, horseshoes, pool, darts. Never like the best, but always just amazingly average. Amazingly mid, you would say. All right, 713-780-ESPN. A lot of you are disgusting, by the way. Just want to say that to some of you texters. 713-780-3776. To be sellers or not to be sellers. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we were just talking about all the games that people play, and sometimes they play poker and blackjack and casino games. You want a place where you can always play it without having to drive to the casino? It's mybookie.ag. Live dealers standing by at all times, 24 hours a day, so you can play live casino games whenever you feel like it. You can do it in your pajamas, your boxer shorts. You can do it on the couch, in the bedroom. You can do it on your phone, wherever you are, and whenever you feel like it, you can start getting some poker games on. And of course, mybookie.ag is known for all their sports gambling because it's the best place to go, because they take care of their customers all the time and they have all the games available for you. In-game betting as well, lots of props. You can set up your parlays. You can do it however you want to do it with the point spreads, but do it at mybookie.ag. And because you listen to us, I'm telling you this, use our promo code BET975. When you use the promo code BET975, you can get bonuses that are going to be in your account immediately that you can instantly start using to bet on games, so that you have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances to win. It's fantastic. Our promo code BET975. There's lots of places, but especially now, if you've never been to mybookie.ag before and you want to sign up, use the promo code when it asks for one, and you'll see extra money in your account. If you're an existing customer and you want to reload your account and start letting it ride on some more games, use that promo code BET975, and you'll get a bonus right now. It's fantastic, and it's more than just a sports book. There's all different things that you can do. There's actually ways you can watch the game on their website while you're betting, while you're conversing with other like-minded bettors that are trying to be part of a community where they're trying to get some wins. It's like sports without actually having to play them. You're just having a lot of fun and possibly winning some money. Check it out. Use our promo code BET975, but do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, and use that promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Austin Rodriguez, who's producer two of the show, he said that he'd be the best at naming college logos. I don't know.
I think I can hold my own on that one.
I don't put anything past A-Rod, but I don't know about that one. Blaine says it's a large washer. I never realized that. That washers, that the washer you're throwing is a large washer? I didn't know that. I'm an idiot. Today I learned that washer that you throw is just a large washer. I had no idea. What an idiot I am. I'm brand new. I'm a noob. Sorry, Blaine. Sorry to disappoint. All right, 713-780-ESPN. To be sellers or not to be sellers. Houston Astros, obviously. Deadline coming up July 30th, I think, is the day this year. Ken Rosenthal of a bunch of different places, the Athletic chief among them, talking about the Astros being a seller, and I think he nails it here with his assessment.
I don't expect the Astros to become sellers, even though they have an issue with Jose Urquidy having a setback, even though they've had all of these things go against them. They are a team that has an owner, Jim Crane, who has basically said in the past, that's not the way I'm going to do it. We're going to compete. We're going to compete every year. Now, should they sell? Different question. Should you trade Bregman, who is finally getting hot? I don't know. Maybe you take a shot at re-signing him, though I don't know that the odds of the Astros keeping Alex Bregman are any more than like 5 to 10%. But they can look at it that way, and they can say, this is our team. We don't want to betray our ticket holders for the rest of the season and trade off our parts. We want to put the best product out there possible.
So there you go. Ken Rosenthal, I think he nails it. When you talk about the mindset of Jim Crane, the Astros front office, that's about how I get my how I take the temperature of that organization too.
Yeah, when we talked about it even yesterday, the fact is that it's my belief that aside from just Jim Crane saying the window's always open as long as I'm here, the way that the Crane gang has operated is they don't care for analytics. They're not much about reloading the farm system. They care about big names and pieces that they can just go out and acquire quickly that can continue winning baseball to be determined how much they can win. And I don't see them changing course and changing their way of thinking about it. Just because of the fact that they're having a down year, and they've their track record with guys leaving too is that they're not going to trade them for assets. They're going to ride it out, look like they made an effort, and then watch them fade into the sunset.
Yeah, I don't agree with the logic, and Ken Rosenthal kind of alluded to that too. But that's kind of secondary at this point. There was a couple of one thing that he said, and there was another thing that Jeff Passan had like a trade deadline primer of teams who he thinks could be sellers, buyers, hinge teams. He actually had the Astros as a hinge team. But you heard Rosenthal there at the end. He said, "What are the odds Alex Bregman re-signs with the Astros?" He put it at 5 to 10%. Now, I don't think trading Alex Bregman diminishes the chances of them bringing back Alex Bregman. Like, the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs. He won a World Series, and then the Yankees re-signed him again. I don't think trading Alex Bregman actually reduces the Astros' chance. Like, if the Astros are out of the race, 15 games back, July 28th, they trade Alex Bregman. I don't think it diminishes the chances of them bringing back Alex Bregman. I think they're low no matter what. I think if they keep Alex Bregman, Ken Rosenthal said a 5 to 10% chance. I agree. I think the chances of bringing back Alex Bregman are 5 to 10%. I think if they traded Alex Bregman on July 28th, I think the chances of them signing Alex Bregman in free agency are 5 to 10%.
See, I think it's a little higher than that. I think that also because of the fact that he did not get off to a great start, that it was a significant amount of time where he struggled, that his numbers aren't going to look as great as I think he and his agent would have loved to have them when he bet on himself this year. And I think that because of the loyalty, because I don't think that they have anybody in the pipeline right now that's ready to come in and take over, and because of the fact that I think because he didn't have a great season so far to this point, that they feel like they can get him at a decent deal. I would say it's more in the 20% range, 20 to 25% range. I give him that much. But I also agree with you that it's not like it's not been done. And it's different because in basketball, when you make a trade to a guy, even if it becomes free agent, you can't re-sign him back. He has to go somewhere else first before you can bring him back. In baseball, there's no stipulations. I definitely think they would still be in on talking to him at the right price.
Yeah, I don't think it changes like their mindset in the offseason, whether they trade Bregman at the deadline or not. Like trading him away, and you're at 20, 25%, I'm at 5 to 10%, but it seems like we have equal percentages whether they trade him or not. Mm-hmm. I don't think that influence. If they want Alex Bregman, I don't believe that changes at all if you trade Alex Bregman on July 28th.
And it's also, Jeremy, as simple as having a conversation with the guy going, hey, do you want to play for a contender for the rest of the year? We're still going to be talking to you, but if you want a chance to go out and try and win again, we're all for that. We can get a piece or two, and then we'll talk to you in June.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, June. In the offseason.
A 6517, Bregman will take the hometown discount to go to Arizona. That's his prediction. We'll see about that. 6030, sell. He doesn't have a clue about the Crane gang. Get Fromber gone. Get Bregman gone. Get us a replacement for Tucker. First base, third base. Tucker could bring us a haul and a new center fielder starting pitcher. That's a lot that he said there. Now, Jeff Passan, in his primer for the trade deadline, he kicked around the idea that, you know, the Astros could be talked into moving a Kyle Tucker if they really wanted to be aggressive in a rebuild. He mentioned the Phillies as a spot potentially for Kyle Tucker, that Dave Dombrowski, super uber aggressive, that he could make this unbelievable offer with their minor league system that would make it hard for a team that's out of the race to not accept, especially with Tucker having just one more year after this year left on his deal. What would have to happen for Jim Crane to trade Kyle Tucker before this year's trade deadline?
Well, it's the perfect storm, right? It's you fall 15 plus games out of playoff contention. You get an offer that not only can't refuse, but that no matter how much Jim Crane would like to say no to it, they're throwing in so many key players and or prospects and probably more prospects than players that you just say, hey, this is for the now, for the future, for everything that we know that we have had to fix a problem with, like having a depleted farm system. This could keep us relevant for the long haul, and it's too great of an offer to pass up. And even still then, I don't think he would be willing to do it, but I think it would have to be the perfect storm of just an abundance of talent coming back and the fact that you have just completely imploded and you're so far out of it that there's no saving this season.
I still don't even see them trading him. Like, I think that it's less than 1%, slightly greater than 0%, because even if they're out of it, I think they're going to be looking forward to 2025, saying, oh, we still got this foundation of Altuve. I mean, also, like, they signed Jose Altuve with the idea that they're going to be a contender while Jose Altuve's here. Jim Crane, like we heard from Ken Rosenthal, has said that as long as I'm here, we're always going to be a contender. Even if you're out of it July, whatever, and I'm not saying this is the right strategy, I'm just predicting where their mindset's going to be. They're going to be looking at 2025 with Yiner, wherever position he's playing. Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena, Alex Bregman, probably not. Jordan Alvarez, Jake Myers, Kyle Tucker, Fromber still has another year. Verlander's going to hit his vesting option. He's going to have another year.
Hater.
Who knows where McCullers is going to be. Luis Garcia is under club control. Like Javier, like that doesn't sound great. Like who knows if he pitches at all next season. Hater. Brian Presley has a vesting option that he's going to hit more than likely. Brian Abreu. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to look at the pieces that they have coming back. And they're going to be like, well, we can't sell pieces that are going to help us in 2025.
We're not that far away.
I don't think it's smart. But I don't think that there's any chance. Even if the Astros are 20 back on July 27th, I don't think there's any chance they trade Kyle Tucker.
No, that's the thing. I think if you asked what it would take, it would be the perfect storm, and I'm with you. I think I've been adamant that they are hell-bent on doing things their own way, and with the guys that you rattled off, they're going to say, we are not very far off at all from competing again. And Verlander's a guy, too, that came back, and part of it was he's chasing wins. He wants to be on a competitive team. So when you look at all of those things, even if you lose Bregman, you can repurpose the money and probably get a guy that replaces Bregman. You can get guys that you're going to need for the kind of holes that you're going to have and still be a winning baseball team with a chance. I'm not saying they're going to be a World Series contender, but it's a pretty good baseball team.
I don't think you're going to fight a third baseman, even with Bregman's struggles, as good as Bregman in free agency.
Well, maybe it's a trade. I don't know. But yeah, but then you got to have assets to give up too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who's going to become a free agent this year, but it depends on which Alex Bregman you're measuring him up against too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, I mean, even full body of work this year, because he's been hot in his last 20, 25 games, he's gotten back up to respectability. In Fuentes, you need like four top 100 prospects, with two of them being in the top 40 and one being top 10, otherwise kick rocks. I mean, there are certain trade packages, and I haven't seen them, but if you're talking about this sort of trade package that Infuentes is saying, we're like, you'd almost be foolish. Like, you'd almost be, you're talking about four players that, you know, maybe two of them are big leaguers, like true good big leaguers, as and have them for 6 years of club control or one more year of Kyle Tucker. Like, it makes sense. It makes sense to at least entertain Kyle Tucker if you're way out of it.
The one thing that you'd be concerned with is the fact that when we just got done talking yesterday about the trades that were made when you acquired a bigger name, a lot of times those packages, no matter how high the prospects were rated, they don't pan out. So, yeah, you get all these top prospects. Even still, it's not that it's a complete crapshoot, but you still are rolling the dice that any or a majority of these guys pan out.
Yeah, but you're talking about 1 year of a player. And, like, what are the trades the Astros have made? Like, did they make a trade last year at the deadline?
Yeah, two of them. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Who were the players?
Mancini was 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago. So, like, 2 years ago, you're talking about Mancini. You're talking about Christian Vasquez.
Right.
The Christian Vasquez trade, the Willier Abreu guy, is a top seven AL Rookie of the Year guy with an 850 OPS. That would be your starting left fielder. And then I'm blanking on the other name, who's still, like, one of their, like, better prospects. The Trey Mancini trade, you traded Jose Siri, but also Chase McDermott, who's, like, doing incredible things at AAA. What are some? Throw some of the other trades that the Astros have made last couple of years.
Well, we brought up Verlander and Greinke.
Yeah, Verlander, I mean, the most recent one, you're talking about Ryan Clifford. You're talking about
Drew
Gilbert.
Yeah.
So there is that. Like, I like trading 1 year of club control players for give me three or four guys that you have 6 years of club control, especially if you're not going to be good. Now, the Astros think they're going to be good in 2025, but I think that they need to be realistic with themselves. I would listen. If I'm 10 games out of the race on July 25th, I am listening to all trade offers.
And we've talked about in the past, you have to kick the tires on everything.
Graveman was the trade last year. You traded Corey Lee. Corey Lee could be your everyday catcher, and Yonder Diaz could be your everyday first baseman.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's right. And remember, he got off to a slow start, and everybody thought, well, Corey Lee's not going to be that good of a player. And then this year, it's been a different story.
4661, re-sign Tucker. Prospects are too big of a risk. And $300 million deals for 10 years are not that big of a risk. Like, those have been pretty risky over the history of the game, too. 5798, could the Astros sell Montero for a reasonable return?
No way.
I think you could trade Montero because he'd only have a year and a half left on his deal. And if he's pitching well, maybe not, but you're not going to get a very good prospect. It depends. Like, if you want to retain some of the contract, it like boost up the level of prospect you can get. If you're just trying to shed the money, I could see a team that's in the race that is desperate for relief pitching that has some money to spend eating the contract, but they're not going to give you a prospect that's worth a darn. So you have to evaluate that yourself. Are you willing to retain a good amount of money to elevate the prospect you get? Or do you just want to shed the salary and you're willing to take a bucket of curveballs in return? But I do think that Montero could be a tradable piece.
I just think the contract is too high.
Okay, then retain 90% of it and get a better prospect.
I just want the money off the books. I mean, I don't care what I get in return. If I can get the money off the books and someone is willing to take him, I would celebrate because I think that you can replace relief pitchers and save money in the case of Montero.
Yeah, I would be interested in that. Absolutely, I'd be interested in something like that. And I'd be okay with either one. Like, if you were just, hey, we just need to clear the salary. We're not going to take a decent prospect in return, just a flyer. Okay, cool.
Yep.
I would say it's more admirable if the Astros are like, you know, we're willing to spend a little bit of money. We'll eat 90% of Montero's contract to get a better prospect in return. I would rather have that because now you're talking about helping the big league club with younger talent. Now, but I don't think either, even if you retain 90% of the salary, I don't think you're getting like a superstar prospect. You're getting like a top 200 prospect, like somewhere in the top 150 to 200. You're not getting a top 100 prospect, even if you eat 90% of Rafael Montero's money.
But doesn't that contradict the Crane gang in the fact that if they want to go back and win again next year, they need to just get the money off the books because they're going to want to go out in free agency and get a relief pitcher or two for less money than Montero was making to hopefully compete again?
There's no limit in baseball on how much money you can spend.
True, but he doesn't want to go way over it.
No, that is true. That is true. And that's... I rather them be aggressive with the money and like, hey, let's retain 90%, get a better prospect. Is it more likely that they're just we'll trade them for anything? Yes, that is more likely. 713-780-ESPN. We had a texter here saying, do you guys trust Jeff Bagwell to oversee a fire sale? Heck no. I think our answer is heck no. But who would you rather have, Jeff Luhnow or James Click? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Great pleasure of mine. I'll tell you what I'd rather have during a rebuild. Gentle Ben. I'd rather have a Gentle Ben during a lot of things. I love telling you about Gentle Ben because it's fantastic. It is the best. It is so good. All of our listeners that tried Gentle Ben, Branham, you were right. This is the only thing that I ever thought you were right about, but you were right about this. The vodka, best in the state. Gin, best in the market. The bourbon, the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben is so good. It uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste. One of the impurities it eliminates, heavy alcohols, kind of like the stuff you use to clean up a cut. That stuff's not in Gentle Ben. It is smooth. It is clean, eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. And you can do that with Gentle Ben. Head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. Stop at your favorite liquor store. Pick up a bottle or two today. Ask for it. Next time you're at the bar or at the restaurant, head to gentleben.com. Learn the incredible story. And now you can order Gentle Ben straight from the website. That's right. Go to the website, gentleben.com. Order the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, the whiskey. They'll deliver it straight to your doorstep. Put it in your cart. Order it straight to your doorstep, Gentle Ben, right at your porch. Doesn't get any better than that. Stop by Minute Maid Park, the Ben's Bar there, just to the left of the Crawford Box. It's another great spot to pick up some Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben, you'll love what's not in it.
You're listening to ESPN 97. Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ocho, I'm not giving you money. 4661, to me, MVP candidates are worth $300 million. I think Tuck's the type of guy who can hit into his late 30s. How many guys can hit into their late 30s, though? In this era of baseball, how many guys hit into their late 30s? Like, J.D. Martinez is still hitting good. Is he hitting to $30 million worth? No, and he can't do anything else other than hit.
Jose Abreu can't.
Jose Abreu's, I mean, toast. I mean, don't want to compare Tucker to Abreu. Killer G's will have an attack on that.
Miggy.
Miggy was awful his last few years.
Yeah, I know. I'm
just, like, who Justin Turner, I would say, is still a good hitter in his late 30s, but he's defense is, he's now playing more first base than third base. His defense has went down. He's not very, like, speedy on the bases. He's not, you know, he lost some tools. He's not a $30 million a year player. Like, who in their late 30s is still hitting?
I can't think of any.
Like, currently, I can't really.
No, I can think of the failures. I can't think of the success stories.
Like,
I
Aaron
can't think
Judge is getting up there in age, but he's still mid-30s.
Yeah. Is he even that?
He's 32. I thought he was, like, 33, 34. He's 32 years old.
Rizzo's older than him, right?
Yeah, and Rizzo's lost a lot.
Yeah.
Rizzo's
first baseman.
Rizzo's probably mid-30s, right?
Has to be mid-30s, yes. 34, 35?
That's what I would guess. 34.
Okay.
Like, who is hitting well into their late 30s? I can't think of anybody. 713-780-3776.
Even when you say well, but they're not great, it's we just saw him land with another team for another season, playing first base. Who was just here in town?
Goldschmidt?
No, not even Goldschmidt. God dog it. He's been with a ton of teams, the first baseman, DH, big hitter, hit a home run here.
Which
was
team?
It wasn't Milwaukee.
They have Santana.
Santana's one of those guys where he stays around forever, and he's decent, but he's not.
No, he's not. I mean, he's like a 220 hitter these days. Like, baseball is very much a young man's game. Like, I just pulled up top 10 OPS, Major League Baseball, just to get an idea of who the 10. Like, I think OPS is the easiest. Like, here's the best offensive stat. Aaron Judge is first in the league. He's 32 years old. Juan Soto's second in the league. He's 25. Third in the league is Ozuna. He's 33. Fourth in the league, Shohei. He's 29. Fifth in the league is Kyle Tucker. He's 27. He's 27. Sixth in the league is Gunnar Henderson. He's 21. Yeah. Seventh in the league is Bobby Witt. He's 23. Eighth is Brent Rooker. That's surprising. He's 29. Ninth is Mookie Betts. He's 31. Tenth is Rafael Devers. He's 27. How many of those guys that are over 33? None. Like, baseball Someone is a young Altuve. Man's game. Jose Altuve, he's good.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve's good. He's one of the short, like, he's one of the guys who would be on that short list. How old is Jose Altuve? Jose Altuve's 34 years old.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about hitting into their late 30s. I don't think players in baseball hit into the late 30s. And,
if
like,
they
maybe
do their
maybe
DHs old, too, right?
Yeah, maybe old school it happened some. You know, when it really happened was whenever the performance-enhancing drugs were a thing. But since then, like, the players that hit well in their late 30s are few and far between. And the average career trajectory of a player, it starts to go downhill in their late 20s. 28, 29, you start to see a slippage in offensive production for and even pitching production. Like, it's the career trajectory on average for Major League Baseball players. So the whole, like, oh, well, this guy's going to be good into his late 30s. What tells you that?
Yeah, pitchers have a better chance. Verlander's more of the Brady type that has just been able to, but in the past, without the pitch clock, it was easier to be Bartolo Colon or, you know, some of the guys that were able, Jamie Moyer, that pitched forever. But nowadays, it's a different dynamic, too, with the pitch clock and everything else, and there's a lot more wear and tear on your arm. It's tough. What was the designated hitter that played with the Rangers that blew the World Series?
Nelson Cruz?
Nelson Cruz. Nelly Cruz was a guy that, you know, he retired, I think, last year playing with the Padres. Nelly Cruz was still an above-average hitter with a lot of power, but even still, that he wasn't one of the best hitters in baseball.
No, he started dipping. I mean, he was pretty good in the COVID year. He was pretty good at 38. That's a pretty good example. He had 41 home runs at 38.
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz would be a good answer to this. One of the few and far between. Somebody said Matt Carpenter. Matt Carpenter has played 76 games last year, 47 games the year before that. He played 130 games in 2021, hit 169. Oof. In the COVID year, he hit 186. Like, Matt Carpenter has been bad at, and I love Matt Carpenter, he's a Houston kid. Matt Carpenter has not been good in baseball since 2018, with the exception of 47 games with the Yankees. Let's look at this. Carpenter in 19, 726 OPS, and 2640 OPS, and 21, a 581 OPS. And then when he joined the cheating Yankees in 2022, he had an 1100 OPS.
Oh.
Like, what is going on? And then after he left New York, a 641 OPS to 535 OPS. What is the outlier here? What is the anomaly? What was happening in the Bronx in 2022? Might have been Goldilocks balls. Might have been a little bit of cheating going on. How does a guy that he goes from a 600 OPS guy to an 1100 OPS guy? How does that happen? How does that happen? Cheating.
No doubt.
All right. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. Who would you rather have, Luno or Click? Somebody said you wouldn't trust Bagwell in a rebuild. Of course we wouldn't. Who would you rather have, Jeff Luno or James Click, to lead the Astros?
To me, it's Jeff Luhnow, because of every different thing that we've talked about previously, but also the dynamic that is kind of unknown but still somewhat known, and that is the dynamic of being able to communicate with an owner that is extremely opinionated, some would say arrogant and brash, but so was Jeff Luhnow. But they found a way to coexist, and I think that if not for the punishment that was laid down, I think that Jim Crane would still have Jeff Luhnow as his general manager. He seemed to be able to balance whatever personalities with Bagwell, with Crane, with whoever was in the room, but he had their respect that he could do whatever he wanted. Yeah, he probably communicated with them, but at the same time, they believed in him, and he did everything that he came here to do. I think he's not only one of the best general managers, he's probably the best general manager in Astros history, but he might be one of the best general managers in baseball over the last 10, 20 years, and I think that click was good. I think Luhnow's better.
Yeah, I think that I think Luhnow is one of the better general managers in baseball history. 100 lost seasons, back to back to back. No one's watching the games. No one's going to the games. And then he was a World Series winner in a pretty short time, considering. Luhnow would be my answer too. Now, there's a lot of other factors here, like why doesn't anybody hire Jeff Luhnow? It seems like he's been blackballed out of the game a bit. He sued Jim Crane. I think that was settled out of court. So like the feasibility. But if you eliminate all of that, my answer would be Luhnow too. I would happily take either one. Gina Luhnow, she tweeted a little bit ago, and Jeff Luhnow, apparently he's like running these soccer organizations. Their team in Spain, they went from 16th place in the second division last year to first division La Liga this year.
Glenn mentioned it. He mentioned it last night that to me that Luhnow's team was being moved up, and it's just an unbelievable story. I don't know how it translates to him being able to do what he did in baseball and soccer. It's great. But I think to answer your question about why another team hasn't hired him, because that he does have that brash, egotistical sense about him that a lot of owners would have a hard time dealing with, that they don't want to tolerate, that they don't want him to walk into every room. And Daryl had this to some degree, walk in every room like you're the smartest and smarter than everybody in the room and you know everything. There are some owners that are offended by that. There are some organizations that don't take lightly to that.
Yeah, if eliminate everything else, if it was feasible and Jim Crane went nuts, he's like, I'm bringing back one of these general managers. I don't care what anybody has to say. I don't care about my personal feelings with them in the past. I mean, Jeff Luhnow would easily be the answer, although I wouldn't be mad at James Click.
Either
I think
one.
James Click was super underrated, too. 713-780-ESPN. What's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Your car wreck of the day. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Mike Hall, a U of H class in 1990, has been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including, but not limited to, HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRMP will work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Also, their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always a quick response, very easy to understand. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your f***ing phone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Someone said Starling Marte. Starling Marte has been a disappointment on that contract. Like, he had a good 2022, 814 OPS. Last 2 years, awful. 86 games last year, 625 OPS. This year, he's got a 740 OPS.
Was that who Crane wanted?
Yeah. And Click's like, I'd rather have Jake Myers. And Marte was better in 22 by a mile. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, they were both bad last year. Myers been better this year. But Marte wouldn't be a good example. Marte's contract is awful. All right, Glenn Davis coming up after Soccer Matters and Brazil versus Mexico preview. That's going to be good. They're playing at A&M. Playing in college.
Yeah, that's right. That's a big game, yeah.
Okay.
MLS. I remember Glenn talking about it too, but he said that with that size of a stadium, that there's a good chance.
They're playing at Kyle Field?
Yeah, they're going to sell it out.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, Brazil-Mexico preview playing at Kyle Field. I mean, they're going to draw, 90,000 for that? That's pretty cool. Guy's looking at me through the window. MLS All-Star Game. Are you interested in that? And then will a Dynamo player get picked to represent the All-Star Game
in the
MLS? The
MLS All-Star Game decide who gets home field advantage?
Home pitch advantage.
All right, yeah.
Home pitch advantage.
Right.
Huh. The MLS final is not an aggregate, but some of the matchups are an aggregate. So, yeah, I guess it could happen here. Bud Selig, he's the commissioner of the MLS. All right, what are we nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what you got?
Can we nominate the home plate umpire today that cost the Astros a game?
Why couldn't you?
Well, because it's actually technically something we would talk about the next Astros game, because we talked about the game last night today first. He just definitely warrants a nomination.
See, I hate umpire shaming and, like, blasting him. It's warranted here. I agree. He missed a call. He should be reprimanded. He should be docked points, all of these things. Ronel Blanco, go make a pitch and get out of the inning. Like, yes, you gave up a free base runner. Ronel Blanco could still get out of the inning by getting a couple of dudes out. He gave up two hits before, you know, for two runs to score after that.
Yeah, it's just when you look at it in retrospect, you realize that you get that out, that run doesn't score, you're probably out of the inning and in the ball game with a chance to win it, instead of the fact that you lost the game, and when every game matters, it's easy to point the finger.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to criticize him. Get out of the inning, Ronel Blanco. I want to nominate Angel Reese, ejected after an argument with the referees. All of this drama in the WNBA, you know what it's doing? It's almost making me want to watch the WNBA.
Almost.
If I had to take 10 steps to watch a WNBA game, I'm like on step 2.5. It's the furthest along I've ever been.
Almost.
What's further than I've ever been?
It was rescinded today.
Was it?
Well, the second one.
It was pretty soft.
The second one was rescinded.
It was pretty
and did
soft.
You see that Lonzo Ball said he would pay the fine for her? He
was that at
the
Lonzo
game.
Ball?
He was at the game last night. And, you know, he still has that massive deal with the Bulls, even though he hasn't played in years. And he said, I got you, and I'll pay for it.
I saw that headline, but I didn't put it together that it was Lonzo Ball that said that.
Yep.
I watched the replay of the second tag. It was pretty soft. Yeah, I'm still nowhere near watching a WNBA game, but I am a little intrigued on the things that go viral on social media. All right, what are you nominating here, Brian?
Two quick Astros things. One, the quick swinging today. I mean, allowing the Cardinals to throw less than 100 pitches was absurd. And then Jose Abreu, another 0-for-3. He's now 4-for-23 since his return.
Could Trey Cabbage do better?
Yes. We've talked about that.
Anybody.
Yes.
All right, what's winning?
The umpire?
I'm going to go with the Astros getaway approach to play. They saw 93 pitches
93
today.
Pitches is...
And not good pitching.
Yeah.
Like,
mediocre. Miles Mikolas is not that great of a pitcher.
No. Yeah, that wins. Getaway day Astros, which getaway day for the Astros. Bet the under.
Kind of like
bet the under.
Kind of like a night in Miami before an NBA game.
Kinda. Very much so. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.